pardon the interruption, but I'm Pablo Torre. It is our third straight day together, Tony, so just admit it, you like working with me.
Tracy, what am I supposed to say? He's here every day. Oh. It's like he comes to your house to sell cookies.
Tracy,
I love it. I do, I love
it. Yeah, great, very good. Again, the whisper voice. Tracy, I hope, if Tracy can hear me, Tony, can you have her yelp in acknowledgement that she likes me at least? Is that something we can arrange, or?
She does like you. She told me a couple of days ago, I don't know about today, but a couple of days ago, she said she liked you.
Very
welcome
good.
To PTI, boys and girls. Will Pond could not be bothered. So I'm joined by our great friend and the host of the ESPN Daily Podcast, Mr. Pablo Torre. They like you. And we begin today with last night's Field of Dreams game, which was basically perfect. The players came out of the cornfield, milled around a bit, then they started playing baseball. The White Sox were up 7-4 in the top of the ninth when Aaron Judge, Angie, and Carlos Stanton homered to put the Yankees up 8-7. And then in the bottom of the ninth, Tim Anderson hit a walk-off homer into the cornfield from whence the game began. Pablo, what did you think of all this?
Tony, I entered this cynically because I'm not a Field of Dreams guy, as I told you yesterday. I think that this was a heavily sponsored event there for cash and the making of more cash in the future. But this could not have gone better for Major League Baseball. Let me think about it as if I am Rob Manfred, because the one person I wanted to win over at this event was not Kevin Costner or the people at home or anything like that. It was Tim Anderson. Tim Anderson, Tony, is very openly a guy who did not watch Field of Dreams. He thinks baseball is boring. He is the guy who is the kind of entertainment-driven future of the game who also doesn't love the game. And they got that guy onto their side. He's now the poster boy for an event in a cornfield. He's the guy saying after the game, this was important, this was huge, there's a lot of upside here. They have him as a weapon to proselytize the game of baseball, and that is such an enormous win on top of everything else.
So I'm glad you started with the word cynical, because I am cynical by nature, because I'm a sports writer. All sports writers are cynical, and if they're not, get out of the business.
Agreed.
Our job is not to paint murals about the players. It's not. And I could have been cynical at the beginning. I was there from the beginning with Kevin Costner. I could have said, okay, he's milking it a little bit, but me personally, I didn't feel that way. When they came out of the cornfield, when the players came out of the cornfield and they were flesh and blood and not the sort of ghostly imagery in the movie, that was a choke up moment for me. I mean, I really felt that. I love this whole thing. I even want to consult my notes just a little bit because I took them last night. This was mythology. This was the roots of baseball, or at least the way Aaron Sorkin would craft them if they asked him to do such a thing.
That's right.
And let me give credit to Fox, because they didn't step all over it. They let the music play. They didn't talk over the music, not at all. They waited for the moment. You wait for it. You wait for it. And the players walk out of the cornfield. And it's a blowaway moment to me. I mean, I'm old. I didn't stay up for the whole game. I watched the ninth inning this morning, but I loved it. I did, I loved it.
No, Tony, it felt like a regular season baseball game that mattered. And the fact that you had at the center of all of this a really, really good game with many lean changes and a walk-off home run, all of that, it felt, and this is, you know, this is not damning by faint praise, but it felt like a football game. It felt like what happens when an entire corporation pours a bunch of resources into making something that could be inconsequential matter. And you were saying this yesterday. This game, in fact, did count, finally.
Yeah. It's everything you could want it to be. You could not have written a better script. You get the situation with the players walking out of the cornfield, which tugs at your heartstrings. You get a game in which the big home run hitters hit big home runs. You get the White Sox wearing those great uniforms. I wrote all of these things down. It ends with a walk-off home run into the cornfield. I mean, it goes, honestly, and then the scoreboard explodes. It goes from Field of Dreams, which, as I said yesterday, which is an okay movie. It goes into The Natural, which happens to be a great movie. It goes from a cornfield in Iowa, ultimately to a Hollywood ending. This is the mythology I'm talking about. I'm glad they're doing it again next year. I hope they do it in front of Mount Rushmore. I hope they do it in the Grand Canyon. I hope they find slices of Americana and do it there.
And here's the key thing. I want to return to Tim Anderson for a second here at the end, Tony, because that is the guy demographically, culturally, athletically. They need more Tim Andersons. They need young people to look at someone like Tim Anderson and say, I want to be like that guy. The fact that that guy, who used to laugh at the idea that this was a sport that's actually entertaining, even though he's really good at it. This is the guy who won the Silver Slugger Award last year, the batting champion in the AL the year before that. The fact that that guy is now a key part of this promotional vehicle feels to me like something they can build on, because this movie, to be very clear, was demographically not for the Tim Andersons of the world, as he himself explained. But I want to move on now, Tony, to preseason football, because Tom Brady is playing tomorrow as the Tampa Bay Bucs host the Cincinnati Bengals. Head coach Bruce Arians says Brady might just play a drive or two, but the other starting quarterbacks like Aaron Rodgers and Justin Herbert, Tony, they're not playing at all in the preseason. And Brady, meanwhile, is coming off the Super Bowl and knee surgery. So should the Buccaneers really risk him in this game?
Okay, so he's 44 years old. And when you talk about risking him at that age for an athlete, it is a risk going down the steps in the morning. It is a risk going out the door at night and taking the garbage out. I don't personally think this is too tremendous of a risk for Tom Brady. Tom Brady feels pressure around him better than any other quarterback. He makes like a turtle. He just goes down. My sense of this is that because of the knee operation, he wants to go out there and feel what it's like to have people coming at him before the actual games begin. I think he's eager to go out for a series or two, and I think Bruce Arians is eager to have him out there because Bruce Arians fancies himself a gunslinger. But I honestly don't think it's that risky.
Well, it's not that risky because I imagine that in NFL offices, at the referee meeting before this game, they will make very clear, as I think they always do, as every Patriots hater has suspected for years and years, they agree, don't let Tom Brady get hurt. The rules are orchestrated in such a way that that is mitigated. I think they're going to have that as a focus in the back of their mind. But on top of that, Tom Brady, Tony, is not wearing his knee brace that he's been wearing for like 14 years for the first time this offseason. So he's trying to feel like a somehow eternally younger version of himself. And when you say that Bruce Arians is a gunslinger type, you're right. This is a coach who does not mind it when players call the shots. And Tom Brady wants to prove to everybody that he is more limber, he has not been skipping leg day, he is ready to play real football again.
So let me get back to the thing you said about they don't want anybody to take a shot at Brady. Let me just say this. If someone were to get through, if someone were to hit him hard and put him out of the game and hurt his career, that person would be a villain. He would be like the coward that shot Jesse Gaines because this is an exhibition game. You do that in game one, it's legit. You do it now, it's grandstanding, and nobody wants that to happen. We stay with football. One of tonight's exhibition games is Detroit and Buffalo. Detroit made big news in the offseason. They traded Matthew Stafford to the Rams for Jared Goff. And they hired Dan Campbell to be the head coach, replacing Matt Patricia. And Campbell promised that his team would bite the other team's kneecaps. Pablo, which debut are you more interested in, Goff's or Campbell's?
Yeah, I take the cannibal. I take the cannibal in this one, Tony, because I cannot recall a coach who has won this many press conferences in a row. We know about his caffeine intake in the morning. We know about what he likes to eat, apparently human body parts. We talk about his brawls and the history he's had in them. He has won over the state of Michigan. I am curious, when the games actually start, does any of that sheen wear off? I know it's the preseason, so he has a long leash here, but I'm far more interested in whether that guy can remain golden in a city that seems to be very, very hungry to have someone to root for just like him.
So let's get context for a second on the Detroit Lions. Since the merger, they're the worst team in the NFL. There are only two teams pre-merger that haven't gotten to the Super Bowl, the Lions and the Browns. But the Browns, over that 50-year period, are 5-12 in playoff games. The Lions are 1-12. One victory, 50 years. That victory came 30 years ago. So this is a very daunting task for whoever the coach is. And they go through coaches pretty rapidly. If Dan Campbell is more concerned about biting kneecaps, I think he's going to get lost at some point. He feels to me, and maybe we disagree on this, he feels to me like a short-term hire. He strikes me as a balloon. You know, the air is coming out of the balloon, and the balloon is wildly spinning around. I am concerned, actually, with Jared Goff for this reason. I thought he was done badly by the Rams. He's 42-27 as a starter for the Rams and got to the Super Bowl 1 year. If you take out the 0-7 he had as a rookie when Jeff Fisher hated him and played him anyway, he's 42-20. I'm the person who sat on this set and said, I think the Rams with Matthew Stafford will get to the Super Bowl, so I want to see how this plays out. But I also like Goff, and I hope he does well. I do.
Yeah, look, I'm a Goff skeptic, but I do think that he is the – I mean, obviously, they put a lot onto his plate, and he has to prove that he is not the guy that we've seen the last several years in L.A. when, you know, we thought he was with the boy genius Sean McVay, and it turned out that actually he needs remedial classes.
All right, let's take a break. Coming up, what did Mac Jones show in his preseason debut?
And could Gardner Minshew, Tony, really end up starting for the Jaguars over Trevor Lawrence?
I don't know if you should go back and see Field of Dreams. I don't know if it would help you because you liked so much what you saw last night. But that was pitch perfect. It was.
I mean, Kevin Costner gave a speech in character to begin this thing.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/PTI. That's Amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
It's time for toss-up. Two men enter, but one of them is a substitute host. So let's just mark me down for the win right now, shall we? What's first?
Toss-up. Who do you expect more from tonight, Vlad Jr. or Shohei?
Well, I expect to see Shohei Ohtani much more because he is pitching and hitting, and Vlad Jr. is only hitting. In fact, I would assume that Ohtani will pitch to Vlad Jr. in the first inning. Vlad Jr. is batting 311. He's got 35 home runs, but, and there's always a but, Ohtani has only allowed 4 earned runs in his last 4 starts. Mm-hmm. Ohtani will probably bat 5 times at least because he's batting leadoff now, because pitchers pitch around him, because he has 38 home runs and you don't want to pitch to him as much as could. Here is the ultimate scenario. Here's what we want. The game is on the line. It's the 7th or the 8th inning. Ohtani is still pitching. Guerrero gets up as either the tying or the winning run. And whoever wins that particular battle gets bragging rights for the foreseeable future. But on the overall scale, Pablo, the season that Ohtani is having is simply amazing.
Yes. No, I mean, I want to go to the overall scale here because there's another wrinkle to that hypothetical that you just gave, because maybe, you know, it's not just Shohei versus Vlad Guerrero, pitcher versus hitter. Maybe Shohei then gets back into the lineup in the next inning and ends up taking care of the game that way. Because to me, the ultimate scenario here is the fact that this is the MVP. Shohei Ohtani is the MVP. I understand that we like Vlad Guerrero a lot, but until Vlad Guerrero gets on a pitcher's mound and throws pitches like Shohei Ohtani does, this entire conversation is almost offensive to me. How can it not be Shohei Ohtani when he does that as well?
Next.
Toss up, more impressive pitcher last night, Corbin Burns or Adam Wainwright?
Okay, so let me give you the backstory. Corbin Burns at one point struck out 10 consecutive batters, tying a major league record with Aaron Nola and Tom Seaver, and that's it. That's the list. Adam Wainwright pitched a complete game two-hit shutout in which he only threw 88 pitches, which I believe is the fewest amount of pitches so far this year in a complete game. All right, so now how do I evaluate this? If I look at it, all things considered, I think that Wainwright is probably more impressive because he goes the full game, he has those numbers, he only pitches 88 pitches, and he gets two hits. So he gets as many hits, Pablo, as he allows.
Correct.
But if you think I'm going to downgrade a guy who struck out 10 in a row, who went 8 innings a shutout ball, and who struck out 15 totally, you're crazy. I don't downgrade that. So while I think that Wainwright may be slightly more impressive, Burns is totally more spectacular. Totally.
Yeah, there's another name that I think may tip the scale here, and that name is Bartolo Colon. Because what Adam Wainwright has done is become the oldest pitcher to pull this off. And yes, by the way, it was a Maddux, right? Fewer than 100 pitches to get a shutout. Very impressive. That's the Greg Maddux statistic. The point is, he's the oldest guy to do that since Bartolo Colon at age 42. So the question is, well, how impressive do you find Bartolo Colon? I find him very impressive, but I find Corbin Burns even more impressive because, as you know, Tony, the strikeout is the ultimate symbol of dominance. You didn't accidentally get someone to roll over on a pitch, ground it out, whatever.
Yep.
No,
yep.
These guys all tried to hit you, 10 strikeouts all swinging. And that to me is incredible.
Two small things. They were Cubs. That's a AAA team right now. I don't know if that's a downgrade at all. And Wainwright, yeah, will be 40 years old at the end of the month. That's it. Eat it, Pablo. Let's take one last break. Still to come. Should we believe Urban Meyer when he says he still doesn't know his starting quarterback?
And we'll show you why people are comparing Lakers rookie Shaunde Brown Jr. to Zion Williamson.
At this point, the Cubs and the Nats, they're not major league teams. They're not.
No.
They go out there, they lose all the time. Their roster is... And that's
functionally,
when we lost game one today.
Functionally relegated.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Happy time, people. Happy 34th birthday tomorrow, Tim Tebow. Tebow is now in training camp with the Jacksonville Jaguars, trying to earn his way onto the team as a tight end. What a dramatic change that is, going from the national championship and an NFL starting quarterback to tight end. But Tebow has already changed sports once. When he left the NFL, he tried baseball. He spent a few years in the Mets organization, once playing for the famed Rumble Ponies in glorious Binghamton, New York. Apparently, some people on the internet are upset that Tebow is becoming a tight end and is somehow depriving a true tight end of a roster spot on the team that Tebow's old college coach, Urban Meyer, now runs. That is crazy talk. If Tebow makes the team, he's better than those others. And unlike them, Tebow can always be the emergency quarterback. Try to think of Tebow as a Renaissance man.
I'm with you, Tony. So many people hate that guy, but it's for the wrong reasons. Like, Tim Tebow, I want to see him around. I think he's more entertaining when he is. And also, he was born in the Philippines. He was once a member of the ESPN Filipino Cultural Society that I founded, even though he never formally accepted the invitation. So there is that.
Happy anniversary, Bobby Cox. Around this day 14 years ago, the longtime Atlanta Braves manager set the record for career ejections when he was booted out for the 132nd time. Ultimately, Cox wound up being tossed 161 times, a record Draymond Green would be envious of. The former record of 131 was held by John McGraw. It took McGraw 42 years of playing and managing to get there. Cox broke that record in just 28 years. It's funny to me because I don't think of Cox as particularly volatile in the way of Leo the Lip DeRocher and Earl Weaver, who are third and fourth all-time in ejections. Cox is on another short list as well, fourth all-time in managerial wins with 2,504. Only Connie Mack, Tony La Russa, and McGraw are ahead of Cox, and all four in the Hall of Fame. Cox's overall record is 2,504 and 2,001, but he is just 67 and 69 in the postseason.
My favorite Bobby Cox story is about how he once broke a toilet with his bare hand at Shea Stadium after a play at the plate that he disputed back in 1978. I don't know if anybody else, Leo DeRocher, has ever done that, but I feel like that is Hall of Fame worthy in and of itself.
So it's not the story about the cane, which we can't get into now. Happy trails to last night's game for the Blue Jays. Shohei Ohtani had another quality start last night, giving up 2 runs in 6 innings as the Angels beat Toronto 6-3. Ohtani improved his record as a pitcher to 7-1, lowered his ERA to 2.93. In the game within the game, Ohtani struck out Vladimir Guerrero Jr. once, walked him once, and gave up a single to him once. In his own at-bats, Ohtani opened the game with a double, later walked and scored a run. Ohtani has not lost in 10 starts since May, now has a 1.92 ERA at home, not to mention his 38 home runs, the most in baseball. Ohtani's manager, Joe Maddon, has been his biggest booster for MVP. And last night, Maddon said it again, quote, "It's overtly obvious to me. There's no argument against it. Vladdy is having a great year, but what our guy is doing has never been done before. It's unprecedented. What Shohei is doing now, it's just different," unquote.
Absolutely. Tony, absolutely. I'd like to nominate myself as the second biggest booster behind Joe Maddon. Tell me, in any definition of the word value, we always have that debate, how is he not the answer to this question? Please.
The year is amazing. The things he's doing, it's absolutely amazing. Let us go to the big finish. The Seattle Storm won the midseason's Commissioner's Cup. Are you impressed?
Yes, Breonna Stewart and Sue Bird were just in Tokyo winning gold, and now they're here doing that. An MRI revealed, meanwhile, that the source of Anthony Rendon's health issues has been a hip impingement. Your thoughts?
When he was in Washington, we never heard that he had a hip impingement. He's a great player. I wish him well, because unlike Bryce Harper, he didn't go in division to leave. Kawhi Leonard's contract extension with the Clippers is 4 years, $176 million, with the fourth year being a player option. Okay by you?
That is okay by me. It's a little suspicious, though, because Kawhi Leonard always loved those 1 or 2 year mercenary deals, so maybe that knee isn't as good as it once was. 42-year-old Joe Thornton, Tony, signed with the Panthers. Is that significant?
This is going to be his 24th season. Here are the notes. He was the number one overall pick in 1997. 1997. Never won a cup. Hope he wins a cup. Last one, exhibition football tonight. Cowboys and Cardinals. Go ahead and sell me on it.
Tony, it begins at 10 p.m. You left my wedding at 9:30. If I sold you on this game, I would be wildly depressed.
You don't have to. I'm not staying up for it. We're out of time.
Yeah,
we'll try and do better the next time. And I'm Tony Kornheiser.
And I'm Pablo Torre. Please check out the ESPN Daily Podcast on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. And now here is SportsCenter.
I got to wish a happy birthday to my cousin, Andrew Coffey. Happy birthday.
Ooh. Yeah.
50.